it's a true gift, but it can be a burden sometimes with some folks. So I hope that was a help to you. And Job 23, he says in verse 2, even today is my complaint bitter. Isn't that bitter? A lot of times in the Bible, bitter just means events in life, tragedies, distasteful things, things that are that bring sorrow, are often in your Bible, your English Bible, referred to as bitter, or drinking a bitter cup. And of course, we know Job, a man that lost all he had, a man whose body was afflicted grievously, and who lost all of his children, he had experienced some very bitter things. And he over and over says in the book of Job, as in verse 3, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. God had seemingly withdrawn revelation or light from Job so that he couldn't wrap his head around what was going on. We see this throughout the book. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. He said, if I could come to his seat, if I could meet God face to face, I would say to him, hey, this is what I think you should have done. Or I would say, why are you doing this to me? I don't feel like I had this coming, right? We know that Job is a type of a tribulation saint, and that his sin... And he was not afflicted for his sin, per se. We know that his sin was self-righteousness. He was righteous in his own eyes. And yet we know that God did not afflict him because of this. We know that it was a test. He says a little further, he says in verse 8, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. And I think in hardship, often one of the most difficult things to deal with is not the hardship itself, but rather not being able to understand what it is that God's doing or what's going on. I think that makes it much worse. Verse 9, on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He says, I know he's there, but I can't see it. I don't know what he's doing. I just know he is. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But look what he says. But he, whereas Job says, I can't perceive God many times. And understand that Job didn't have one verse of scripture. Job had no scripture. He simply followed the faith that was passed down from Noah to Shem, down through Enoch and Methuselah, and eventually that crowd. That's the faith that Job had. It was an oral tradition. It was the ministry of the prophets prior to the scriptures. This truth had been passed down. But look what he says. He says, I can't perceive what he's doing. This is probably what makes Job, outside of Jesus Christ, the greatest man that ever lived, is everything that he went through, he refused to blame God for it. And yet he didn't have the Holy Spirit in the way that we do, and he didn't have one verse of scripture. And a Christian can profit much from studying the life of Job. And he says in verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. He says, man, I don't think I know him at all. I thought I did. But he knows me. And then he says this. He says, when he hath tried me or tested me, I'll come forth as gold. And the allusion there, the metaphor is putting gold in a crucible and gold ore and applying extreme heat. And then all of the dross, all of the undesirable metals and minerals are burnt off, and all you have is the valuable thing. So he says this. Now, there's a principle here in that it's that the Lord uses hardship or difficulty to perfect his saints. David said in Psalms 9, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins." Psalm 11:5, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth." Proverbs 17:3, "The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts." 1 Thessalonians 2:4, "But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." God tests us. He said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 8, that he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. God uses hardship to teach his children things. This is true. We, to a lesser extent, do it with our children. Truthfully, most things in life aren't learned unless there's some effort, some sweat, and some experience mixed in with it. It is one thing to sit in a classroom, and it's another thing to learn it in life. And God uses hardship. And the blessing for the child of God is that the whole world is prone to hardship. Right? Look at Job 14. Job 14. What's he saying? Someone read Job 14 and verse 1. Yeah, man that is born of a woman. I'm assuming that every man in here was born of a woman. And if you are a man and you're born of a woman, your days are full of trouble, because that's life. Right? We all experience trouble. That's not to make light of it. But trouble. Someone just go and read Job 5:7. Someone read that, just anybody that wants to read it out loud. As the sparks fly upward, right? Just as surely as when you throw a chunk of lodgepole on that fire, come this fall, and it pops and sputters, and those little embers fly and fly toward the heavens and, get on your clothes. And if you have, modern hunting pants, burn holes in them. That's why wool is still better, but it's heavy and scratchy. Right? But just as sure as those sparks fly upward, man is born to trouble. He's born to trouble. So we all go through it. But the blessing for the Christian is that the hardship has meaning. Right? Means nothing for a lost man. Just stinks. If you're like an animal, right, and your whole purpose in life is to eat and drink and procreate, get a little pleasure and fight and then die. Man, trouble is a tragedy, right? It's a sick joke. But for the Christian, Peter said, right, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh a far more eternal weight of glory. Yeah. Hardship happens to everyone. Man is born into trouble, right? The Bible says God maketh it to rain on the just and on the unjust. Everybody experiences hardship. If you haven't yet, you will. You will. However, for the Christian, hardship is a blessing in some ways. And that's what I want to talk about for just a few minutes tonight, the blessings of hardship. Often I hear people speak of hardship as some strange thing. And the story never changes. It just goes on. It was money problems last year. It's money problems this year. It'll be money problems next year, right? If you've had money problems for 5 years, this isn't like a tragedy. This is just your life. Right? Every time I talk to this guy, not here, no one here, okay? You don't know him, okay? Every time I talk to this guy, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. Okay, I said the other day, yeah, that's 90% of my church. No, that's not a strange thing. I've lived paycheck to paycheck my entire life. Okay, right? If I don't want to anymore, I'll do something about it. right? But trouble is here, and hardship is here, and it's a part of life, and it's not a strange thing. It's not a strange thing. That doesn't mean that it's that some of the harder things are not difficult to go through, but we are, let's just face it, we're destined to them. You know, we don't like to talk about this in America, but the truth of the matter is we are going to experience loss. We are going to experience sickness, even in this little church. We are in this church, right? I don't like to think about that, but it's going to happen. And it's not fun going through it, but for a Christian, there's a blessing in it. Look at Job 13, and I'll show you what I mean. I just want to speak on the blessings of hardship. You know, it's a trite verse, and we quote it a lot, but it's still true. All things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
Right. Jesus Christ said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, right, whom the Father will send in my name, right, he'll be with you forever. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
Oh, man. You know, I don't know how some people do it without the Lord. I don't. And I'm so thankful for him.
Yeah.
And it does seem like there are folks that disproportionately experience trouble in life. Have you noticed that? And I do feel very blessed. But we're all going to go through sadness. And Job could have cursed God. His wife said, curse God and die. And that would have been the easy way out. That is the easy way out. Right? You know, people talk about it, you know, these days. And I hear people, oh, my life's so bad. You know, I'm just, maybe I should end it. Shut your mouth. Don't you talk like that? I was at a meeting one time, and this guy got up and he confessed to people that he had suicidal thoughts. You know, and I just looked around. I looked at my father and I looked at some other old rednecks. I remember this one redneck preacher looked at his sons and said, "Close your ears, boys. Close your ears. You don't entertain those thoughts. You got a family." You got a wife or a husband, right? You're going to do that to them? Come on now. Hey, man, don't talk like that. I asked my dad, have you ever had those thoughts? He said, that's stupid talk. That's what my father said. That's stupid talk. That's what a coward talks like. That's a person that's feeling sorry for himself, right? And the end of feeling sorry for yourself is that kind of behavior. And I'm not trying to be harsh. Yeah, I am being harsh. There's some thoughts that a man who has the Holy Spirit of God should not entertain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And so his wife said to him, curse God and die. Curse God and die. And that would have been for Job the easy way out. I mean, look what he says in Job 13:27. He says, thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and loose lookest narrowly upon my past. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet. He says, my footprint looks different now, man, because I got worms crawling under my skin. I got boils on the bottom of my feet. My footprint looks different, you know. The whoever's tracking me can be like, ooh, that's Job. You know, he's got wormy feet. And it would have been easy. The easy way out for him would have been to shake his fist at God and die. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. And he maintained his integrity. Look at Job 13. I just want to give you a few notes here. Hopefully it'll be a help to you. Job commented that hardship is a way of life for all, and there's a benefit to it. He says in verse 7 of chapter 12, ask now the beasts and they shall teach thee. He says in chapter 12, verse 12, with the ancient is wisdom, with length of days is understanding. He says again in verse 22, he discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. And Job, in this subject of suffering, even though he doesn't understand what God is doing, he realizes that in hardship he's going to learn some things. right? And so he says it over and over. In fact, look at 13:1. He says, "Lo, mine eye hath seen all this, mine ear hath heard and understood it." And understood it. And that's what we need to realize, is that hardship gives us understanding. You know, it's good to know what you're made of. It's good to sometimes push yourself to the limit to know what you're made of and what you can do. You know, I hate working on vehicles. I do. Even with YouTube. You know. But I just have never cared for it, but I have to do it sometimes. But in tackling the problem after you're done and you look at a job well done, if you did it right, there's a little bit of satisfaction in it, right? And you learned something. You learned something that you wouldn't have learned if you wouldn't have got into it. And that's why when you get to 60, 70, 80 years old, you know a lot about a lot of things. Yeah. You know, I drive down the, you know, sometimes I get together with some of you guys that have been around a while. You know a lot about a lot of things. Why? Because you had to, at different times in your life, get in there and grab things by the short hairs, get your knuckles busted, and figure stuff out. And you wouldn't have learned something if you wouldn't have endured that hardship. That's just, and that's life. And Job knew that. And I want you to see here that he addresses some heart attitudes that we should have or not have in hardship. And I want you to look at what he says here. He says, "What ye know, the same do I know also." He's speaking to his friends who are saying that Job is suffering because of his sin. Right? They're telling him, "What's wrong with you? God wouldn't have let this happen if there wasn't something wrong with you." But look what he says. He says this. He says, "I am not inferior unto you." He says, "Guys, you don't know anything I don't know. I'm not inferior unto you." And if I could just say this, when you're going through hardship, be careful about taking a position of inferiority. Job didn't. He says, "I'm not inferior to you." Don't assume that when you're going through it, it's because you're a lesser person. Or if you would have made all the right decisions in life, this bad thing wouldn't have happened. Or that God somehow is picking on you. No. Don't take an inferior position. Don't say those things. And people tend to do that. "I'm just stupid." Or I've just had bad luck. Poor me. I was born on the wrong side of the track. People born on both sides of the track have hard times. You know? People on both sides of the track have kids that have addiction. Both sides. Right? People on both sides of the track have marital discord. People on both sides of the track suffer emotional and physical abuse. Right? Don't be careful about taking the inferiority position. Or, "This is just my lot in life, and God is picking on me especially." He says, "I'm not inferior to you." Not only that, when we take that inferior attitude sometimes, and we take hardship as just something that is a fatalistic thing, not to be learned from, but just to produce more self-pity, right? When we take that attitude, it can become a cop-out, right? But Job didn't take that attitude. He said, "If you can learn from the Almighty, I can. If you don't quit, I'm not going to quit. If you can figure things out, I can figure things out." Because God gave you a brain just like he gave them a brain. And God gave you a heart just like he gave them. And God loves you just like he loved them. Right? Amen. And God gave you the Holy Spirit just like he gave them. Right? And Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Right? And sometimes that inferiority complex, we take it and, you know, we almost sound humble when we say it, but it's anything but. Because Paul said we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. "I've just had bad luck. People have it out for me, you know." But just remember that flies are always attracted to the same type of things. And the attitude that you put out many times is what you get. All right, now, be careful about taking a position of inferiority. And look what he says in verse 3. Surely I would speak to the Almighty and desire to reason with God. Just remember this in hardship. Sometimes talking to God is going to be more profitable than others. There's a time to get counsel and there's a time to vent. But let's remember to go first to the Lord. Right? Before announcing to the world on social media that your life is horrible, right? Look, and there's a time to let people know things, don't get me wrong, but our first recourse should always be to God. Right? And let's be careful about that. And speaking to God might be more profitable because look at verse 4 and 5. But ye are forgers of lies, ye are all physicians of no value. Oh, that you would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom. Sometimes in hardship, be aware that the opinions of others can be overwhelming. Right? There's a time for counsel, but just be aware that in hardship, everybody offers advice. And everybody offers blame. And if we're not careful, we'll get paralysis by analysis and we'll be overwhelmed by all the reasons people are giving us for what is going on. Right. And Job says, I need a little quiet here. I need a little silence. You guys, I need to hear from God here. Right? And maybe a few trusted friends. But we have to be careful about that. The opinions of others in hardship can be overwhelming. And verse 6, hear now my reasoning and hearken to the pleading of my lips. Just in hardship, make sure that you talk it out with the right people and to the right people before you make a decision. In verse 7 and 8, he says, will ye speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for him? Will ye accept his person? Will ye contend for God? Is it good that he should search you out? Or is when one man mocketh another, do you so mock him? Beware in hardship. Beware of wicked speakers who seem to speak for God. Beware of people that seem to speak for God. Everybody these days has an opinion that they want you to think is God's. But beware. God is not the author of confusion. And if you find yourself confused and overwhelmed by the multitude of opinions in your situation, it's time to block out a few of those things and get with God and His Word. Maybe your wife or someone you trust, or your husband or a pastor or a trusted friend, right? And zero in a little bit. Because everybody these days speaks for God. Everybody has an opinion. And these men assume that they know what's going on, but they don't. And be aware of that. They'll either confuse you or they'll lead you the wrong way. And then look at this, verse 10. He will surely reprove you if you do secretly accept persons. Be careful. This is what we call respective persons in the Bible. This is where people make decisions, moral decisions, justice type decisions based on who they like or who they prefer. But we can also do that with ourselves. And in hardship, when life gets hard, and I'm not just talking about trials, I'm talking about challenges. Challenges. Life can be challenging. And backing away from, if this is all leaning toward the suffering side, don't get me wrong. I'm talking also about when life stops being challenging, we stop learning. In fact, Marcus Aurelius told his son, he said, every man that eventually became a slug, every man that became apathetic, right? He called his giving up rest. And he said, when you are seeking rest in life, you're going to start to go downhill. He says you should seek struggle and you should seek challenge. And when you stop seeking struggle and stop seeking challenge, you're not growing anymore. You should not back away from hardship. I remember when I went to school, I went to Bible school and went to Greek class. And our Greek teacher's name was Lawrence Vance. And we called him Dr. Thanatos, which means Dr. Death. And he was Dr. Death. And he loved to make our lives miserable. I remember our first class, we had the biggest class ever in that school. And so we didn't fit into the Greek room. So we went upstairs to the building up on the hill there, a second story building. And we had to meet in the big classroom. And he got up and said, "I've never taught in this class before." He said, "Half of you are going to quit. I'd prefer if you quit now." He says, I'd rather those of you that are going to quit, just quit now so we can get back to the room that I feel like I can teach in. And right off the bat, he told us he didn't want all of us to make it. Of course, if you're a dude, you take that as a challenge. Oh, you're going to make me quit? We'll see about that. We'll see who's still standing, right? If you've got a little bit of something in you, right? Which is the point. Now, was he a jerk? Yeah, he was a little bit of a jerk. But that's irrelevant. I can't change him, right? But I can change myself and I can keep my attitude right. And, I fought that guy. He never liked me. I fought that guy for 3 years. 3 years. I could tell you lots of stories. You know, and he'd get mad at me, you know, because when we read out of the Greek New Testament, I read through it super fast. Because, that part of it I picked up. And he'd just get so irritated, you know, and he'd pick on me because I got the pronunciation right and could read out of the Greek New Testament pretty quick. And it irritated him, you know, and so he'd pick on me. And all that did was make me dig in more. Make me dig in more. And so I'm not just talking about loss. I'm talking about things being hard in life, right? The devil is trying to get you to quit. The Lord allows the devil to do that to see what you're made of. When you quit, the devil wins, right? And that's what the devil wants you to do, right? Our temptation is to curse. It's to cower. It's to crumble. It's to quit in hardship. This is not unique, right? But as Job did, you should cry out if you have to. And Job cried out many times. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. Be careful about making personal exceptions. In other words, my situation is unique. No one has it as hard as I do. You just don't understand. No. No. I'm not saying that your situation isn't difficult, but it's not unique. Other people have been through this. And that ought to give us hope, right? And comfort. Amen. I'm thankful for the people in this church that have been through things that I haven't been through and have been a comfort to others. I'm thankful for the people in this church who are older than me, who when I go through something, remember what it was like and come up to me and just say, "Hey, Pastor, I remember when that happened to me." That's a great comfort. It's a blessing. And don't waste your pain. Amen. Use it to help someone else and to lighten the load of another. But look what he says in 1 Corinthians 10. Are you with me so far? 1 Corinthians 10. I'm just saying there's blessings in hardship. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is what? Common to man." My situation is unique. You don't get it. No, it's not. It's not. It's common to man. But what's he say? But God is what? Faithful. See, so the man who says, "You don't get it. I can't do this." The man who says that I don't deserve this. The man who says God is wrong here. God made a mistake in putting me in this situation. What he's doing is he's questioning the faithfulness of God. And God is faithful. And God allows us to go through hardship to make us better. We're going to go through it anyways. But he knows what he's doing. Knows what he's doing. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. All right, now go back here to Job 13. Now, those are just attitudes. Be careful about making personal exceptions, and we all do that. I do it. I find myself doing it sometimes. Like, well, if people just understood, you know, my brain type. You know, we all have a brain type now. We all have a spectrum. And but that spectrum's been around a long time. And there were people with OCD in the Bible. There were people with ADD in the Bible. Right? There were people with hurt and pain in the Bible. And God was faithful to them. And he was there for them, and he'll be there for you. And he's been there for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He's so good. But look what Job says here about the blessings of hardship. Verse 10, he will surely reprove you if you do secretly accept persons. Verse 12, your remembrance are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Verse 11, shall not his excellency make you afraid and his dread fall upon you? Imagine Job here sitting in sawdust and ashes, having lost everything, perhaps in debt, scraping the boils off of himself with a potsherd, with a piece of broken pottery, and maybe just not too long ago he was driving that nice car or that nice chariot, riding that nice camel. He was on top of the world. And he sees himself in a different light now. And he sees that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. That he came naked out of his mother's womb, and naked shall he return. And he sees himself for what he is, and at the same time he sees God for who he is. And he sees that he has not retained his excellence, but God has always retained his. And ultimately, one of the blessings of hardship is that we see God's excellence. We see that God is excellent. And we see ourselves as we are. And this results in a healthy fear and reverence for God. And when we look at the example of Christ, we see that all hardships that he encountered, he handled with pure excellence. He never one time didn't act the correct way in every situation he was faced with. And I can't say the same for myself. None of us can. But isn't it amazing that the Lord, even in his suffering, was gracious and kind? How when he was betrayed by Judas, said, "What are you doing, friend?" How when they came and his disciples said, you know, ripped his, you know, metaphorically ripped his guts out by betraying him and running away. And yet when Peter cut off that servant's ear, the Lord had the time to stoop down and take that ear and put it back upon that man that was arresting him, you know. How he had thoughts for his own, even as he was carrying that cross to Calvary, turned to those daughters of Jerusalem and said, "Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves. Weep for your children." Right? How he had time for the thief on the cross. And how Pilate, in examining him, could find not one thing wrong, but just exclaim, "Behold the man. Have I ever met anyone like this." And the blessing of hardship is that it points us to the excellence of our Savior. And it reminds us of what a wonderful God we have and what a wonderful Lord we have. And it reminds us of his greatness, of his goodness, of his gentleness, of his kindness, of his integrity. And we're thankful that we have him to follow and we have his example to look to. Because in hardship, it's easy for us to be reminded that we're not always excellent. And that, you know what we say when we're going through something? We say, it's not my best day. But isn't it amazing that Jesus Christ never said, it's not my best day? Yep. and we have His Holy Spirit in us. Look at verse 13. Hold your peace, let me alone that I may speak. And here's another verse that has found our way into the, a phrase that has found its way into the English vernacular. And let come on me what will. Let slip the dogs of war, I think Shakespeare said. Come what may, we say. Been repeated oft in English literature. But he said, hold your peace and let me alone. And I think, one of the blessings of hardships is that ultimately, it results in the weariness of the voices. That looking for constant affirmation by others, that seeking out flattery by people telling us, you're just so great. All of that is just, it's just vapor and smoke when the hard times come. Right, all those false friends, right? All of those opinions that seemed so important, all those people that we wanted them to think so highly of us when we were on top of the world, and it all seems vain and kind of empty when things really get rough, and their opinions don't really matter. I remember when I came home from the mission field and I was so heartbroken, and I remember I was talking to someone, and he's like, man, went over there for 4 or 5 years and came home. And the language on the telephone was like, man, I'm really sad, I'm disappointed. Well, and I just said to him flat on the phone, I said, you're disappointed? I said, you're not near as disappointed as I am. Right? And when you're in deep grief, in deep struggles, what other people think doesn't matter that much, and that's a good thing. It frees you. When you experience great loss, when you're sitting there in the hospital staring at your child on life support, right? All of a sudden, people's thumbs up on Facebook don't really matter anymore. A hardship kind of helps you reassess what's important in life. And that's a blessing. Because we all need to reevaluate sometimes and refocus on what's important. And Job says, you know what, guys, just shut up. I don't really care what you think anymore. I care what the Lord thinks. That's a blessing. Why? To be free from those voices. A lot of people live according to those voices, The criticism of parents, the peer pressure of friends, right? The people joshing you at work, right? People live under the opinions of others. And it just seems when you're in a struggle that those things don't seem to mean as much. And if hardship frees us from the petty affirmation of false friends, then it's a blessing. Verse 14, wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth? Does anybody know what that might mean? It's idiomatic. What do you think taking my flesh in my teeth means? Someone help me out here. Who said it? Sure. Right? I shouldn't do that. I just shook your hands. COVID mouth. Right? I think someone else said in the scriptures, a fool foldeth his hands and biteth his flesh. But he said, wherefore do I take my flesh and my teeth and put my life in mine hand? He says, why am I doing this? Why do I put my life in my hand? That's what a person does when they worry. It's like a baby, right? Freud's oral complex, right? Stick everything in your mouth, right? That's what you do when you worry. Right? You take you take your control and you get as close to you as you can, and you take your life in your hand. That's what worry is. Worry is, in a sense, it's assuming control, mental control over things that you don't have any control over. Right? Some people that worry, they've learned that worry is a great manipulator, it's a great control agent, I've found. You know. But what Job says, the Sabians came, right? They took all my horses, they took all my camels, took all that. Right? Then all of a sudden I got these boils. I've been healthy my whole life. Then a wind came out of the wilderness and blew the house down on my kids. That was an act of God. What good would have worrying done me before? And what good is it doing me now? Because I'll tell you what I've learned in this. I've learned that I don't have as much control over my life as I thought I did. Riches make themselves as wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. I was just talking to someone and I just said, you know, you can do everything right in life, and one bad sickness can wipe it all out. And you'll have nothing. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can shop at the good food store till you're green, right? And if God wants to put that bug in your body or that, you know, that cell that goes on the fritz, it's going to happen, right? And so, you know what Job realizes in this hardship? He realizes that, why would I assume that I have control over everything, and why would I worry over everything when I realize now that I don't? And so hardship can ultimately give us victory over worry. When we accept that life is hard, difficult, and sorrowful, we stop worrying about it so much. I remember when Addie got in her wreck. Praise the Lord, it was in that Chrysler 300. And that thing's a tank. Praise the Lord. And that guy, they must have been out of his favorite gummy at this pot shop. So he tried to shoot the gap and shoot over to the next pot shop, right over there in front of Snappy's. And Addie just T-boned him going about 30, 35. And praise the Lord, airbags deployed. She was fine. But I remember for the few weeks after that, she'd be like, hey, Dad, you know, Shelby and I are going to the lake. And I'd be like, you know, what if, you know, like I was, you can't do that to a 17-year-old. You can't lock a 17-year-old in the house. Right? I can't punish her for my lack of faith, for my worry, right? I can't make her responsibility for my angst. Then I've ruined two people's lives, not just my own. See? And my worry isn't, other than me telling her, wear your seatbelt. I always say, wear your seatbelt when you leave the house, don't I? Wear your seatbelt. You know, and she does more than me. But, you know, I can't make my worry other people's problem. Worry takes the joy away, filling hearts with fear each day. It steals the light, it clouds the way, and makes us doubt, brings dismay. But worry never helps us grow. It stops the peace we long to know. So let it go, live free and bright, trust in faith, and choose the light, one person said. Catherine Pulsifer said that. He said, why do I take my flesh and my teeth and put my life in my hand? I did everything right, and hardship still came. So I might as well just trust in the Lord. Verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's what Job says. If hardship comes and worry doesn't help, then trusting God is the only alternative. Verse 16, he also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. Get this in your heart. Get it in your heart. Our care is in the Father's hands. It is. And He won't let anything happen that we can't handle. He gives more grace. Now, just about done. Look what He says in verse 16. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before Him. You know what another blessing of hardship is? It helps us clean up our conduct. Right? When we know that God is allowing us to go through stuff, we feel His eye. We feel His hands. We know that He's doing something, even if we don't understand it. And you know what it does? It makes us clean up our act a little bit. And I'm amazed when people don't. You know what hardship should make it? When I see Christians constantly use hardship as an excuse to become less faithful, to, you know, cuss more, to, yeah, you know, well, I'm having a bad day, so I'm going to drop a few bombs, you know. Shouldn't it have the opposite effect? Amen. What's good with a little old-fashioned fear of the Lord? What's good with a, hey, I guess, I don't know exactly what's going on, but just in case I'm the problem, I'm gonna do right here. Why is it that when we go through things sometimes, right, it gives us an excuse to be a brat? You're welcome. Look at verse 18 and 19. Look what He says here. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. You know what the blessing of hardship is? The blessing of hardship is that we cry out to God. It makes us cry out to Him. Job says, if I don't cry out here, I think I'm going to die. And I think the blessing of going through things in life, whether it's a challenge, right, or a grief, or a pain, it brings us back to the throne. And if we don't talk to Him, we feel like we're going to die. And that's a blessing. Because unfortunately for some, we don't ever pray until we're going through it. And it gets us to speak our heart. We're just about done. Look at Job 32. Look at Job 32. I want to let you go here, but I want you to look at Job 32 and look at verse 1. You know what Job says? He says, I got to speak. And I think it is important to speak. I think you got to vent. You got to vent. I think whether to a friend, you have to the Lord. But you have to vent, because what the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And one of the blessings of hardship is that it gets us to cry out. And when we cry out, it shows us what's in our heart, because our words reveal our heart. And then we can diagnose the problem in our heart and be better in the hardship, and because of the hardship. And bottling everything in is not a good idea. And Job's problem, look at Job 32:1. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was what? He was righteous in our own eyes. And so we know from Scripture that Job has a problem with self-righteousness. And as is typical with a self-righteous person, they never think that they have a problem. It's always everybody else. Right? A self-righteous person doesn't see their problem. They never do. The Pharisees never did. And they had Jesus Christ talking to them. Right? And so, if hardship gets us to blurt out what's in our heart, that's a good thing, because it will reveal what our problem is. And look what he says in verse 22. Then call thou, Job 13:22. Then call thou and I will answer, or let me speak and answer thou me. How many are mine iniquities and my sins? Make me to know my transgressions and my sins. You know what? You know what Job does? He cries out to God. He says, show me what I did wrong. What did I do wrong? He's blurting things out. He's blurting out his frustration. But in doing so, he's revealing that, hey, he isn't perfect. He does have a problem. He's self-righteous. And the blessing of hardship is that it oftentimes brings us to a point of exasperation where the true problem in our heart can be revealed. And that's the blessing, that hardship reveals our deep-seated sins. I'm not saying that Job was suffering because he was self-righteous, but the blessing of hardship is that it will reveal our problems. And we can then confess them and forsake them and move on. Amen. And you know what the lost man does? He's like the beast that perisheth. Right? You take a 2x4 and you can whack that bull right across the nose, and it doesn't make him a more moral man. He's not going to quit cheating at cards. Right? He's not going to quit busting down the fence. But the blessing of being a child of God is that judgment and hardship can cause us to evaluate ourselves. It causes us to, in frustration, dump all those things that are hidden in our heart on the table. Right? And then we can actually see what's inside there. And the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And in this moment, Job just blurts out, "What have I done wrong? What's wrong with me?" He reveals something about himself. He's a little bit self-righteous. And when he does that, now he has something to work on. Yeah, and if, you know, as Christians, we should never waste a hardship. We should always use it to get us closer to God. You know, the real us comes out in trouble. In Romans 7:13, in fact, the Bible says that sin might become exceeding sinful. And, you know, what trouble makes us what? Angry. Trouble makes us scared. Trouble makes us unreliable. Trouble makes us unfaithful. Trouble makes us bitter. Trouble makes us quit. But the truth of the matter is trouble didn't make us do any of those things. Those things were already there. Right? You know this, right? The truck broke down, so I kicked the tire. The truck made me angry. No, I'm angry, and the truck just brought it out. Come on. You're welcome. Amen. That person said something to me at church, and so I quit. No, you quit because you're a quitter. Amen. Right? All trouble does is reveal what us to us. I've said it before. When you squeeze an orange, what comes out? Orange juice. And when you put the squeeze on someone, it reveals what they are. But for a Christian, that's a blessing. Why? Because I can get it right. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. No one wants it. Verse 26, "For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest to possess the iniquities of my youth." Now Job's getting around to it. And you know what he says? He says, "You're up there, and you're scripting my life." He says, "Thou writest." That's such a great word there. Thou writest. You know what the Bible says about our Lord Jesus? He is the author and finisher of our faith. You know what that means? That means that God Almighty has some sort of script that he's written for you and for me. And he scripted this tragedy for Job. I know it's an awful thing, but that's what the Bible says. He scripted it. He's the author of this trouble. Absolutely. And God is writing bitter things about me, right? And the end of the story is going to be however Job responds. That's how the story's going to end. And we know from Job 42 that he says, "Look, you're holy, I'm not, I repent, I abhor myself in dust and ashes." The Lord says, "Yeah, we're good. We're good." But in trouble, he ends up justifying God. He even says, "Maybe I'm reaping what I sowed." And then he says here, in verse 4 of chapter 14, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean?" not one. And trouble causes us to look for the clean thing. Because in trouble, in revealing ourselves to us and seeing ourselves for what we really are, we realize that nothing clean can come out of something unclean. And that we need someone clean. The Bible says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Right? The Bible says about Jesus Christ that he purged our sins with his own blood as of a lamb without spot. And you know what I know about my Savior, my perfect example? I know that he's clean. I know that he's holy. And I know that I need him. Right? And whatever it is that I'm going through and I'm struggling, God help it to point me to him and draw me closer to him. There are blessings in hardship. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Word of God.